Every one of you here with us, and we said it once, we're going to say it again. We believe God's got something just for you. I want to invite you this morning to open up your Bibles to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 10. On the screens, let's go over to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. On the screens, we're going to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. In our Bibles, we're going over to the book of Romans, chapter 10. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like one, man, would we love to give you one. You can lift up your hand and our ushers will be in the aisles now. They'll place that Bible in your hand. If you don't have a Bible at all, good news, now you do. You can keep that one. If you do have a Bible and just for whatever reason you weren't able to bring it to church here this morning, you can give that Bible back to our ushers at the end of the service. We're opening those Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 10. On the screens, we've got Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. This has been our golden text for our series, and it's the words of Jesus, and he says here in verse 20, "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief," they were asking him, why weren't we able to produce results with this boy who was demon-possessed? "And Jesus said unto them, it was because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you will say," that's a key phrase, "unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you," the scripture goes on to say. We've been talking about this, saying that God wants us living by faith. That faith is the force God has given you and me to unleash Him in our life, in our nation, in our state, in our city, in our world. That faith is designed by God to release God's ability in this earth. We said because of that, when you're in faith, nothing is impossible. Not because you're so special, although you are. Not because you're so good looking, although we are. Not because faith is so powerful, but God is so powerful. And God is the tool. God has given us a tool in faith that gets Him going. Basically, faith is like the key to your car. It's not the engine. It's not the thing providing the power. But it's a force that when you turn it, cranks the engine on. And God, if you will, is that engine. Faith is the key, but you and I are in control of the key. We're in control of our faith. And if we decide to use it, if we decide to turn that switch, as Brother Hagin would say, keep the switch of faith turned on, then that enables that power of the engine, which is God, to take us to some amazing places. But friend, the whole key is no matter what type of faith you have or how great or how little it may be, the key is you've got to use it. You've got to turn that key. And so we asked last week, I hope you could answer more this week, but we asked last week, how much faith did you release this week? What were you in faith for this week? Now, I want to backtrack a little bit and cover this point because I don't want to assume we all know exactly what I'm talking about. Here, Jesus is talking about faith. And he mentions having faith the size of a mustard seed. A belief in your heart, the size of a mustard seed. He said, if you use that belief, if you use that faith, no matter how small it may be, by speaking, nothing will be impossible unto you. Faith is of the heart. When you're in faith, it means you're believing something in your heart. But that belief will do you no good unless that belief is released through your mouth. God ordained the strength of faith to be in your words. We'll see this principle here in Romans chapter 10. And let's look here in verse 8. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy what? Mouth. And in thy what? Heart. That is the word of what? Faith. Notice, what is the word of faith? It's when the word is not only in your heart, but also in your what? Your mouth. The word of faith is when the word is in your heart and in your mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. How many of you know we should preach the word of faith? That if, watch this in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy what? Mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in your what? Heart that God raised him from the dead, that thou shalt be saved. For with the what? Heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the what? Mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you see how Paul is saying that the word of faith works? It works when it is in your heart and in your mouth. That if you believe in your heart and release that belief with your mouth, that produces salvation. Now, here we know he's talking about being born again. And we know how you get born again. I would assume the majority of us in this room are presently born again believers and have given our hearts to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How did you do that? You did it by believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you. By believing in your heart that on the third day he rose again from the grave. By believing in your heart that he is your Lord and he has saved you from hell. You believe that in your heart, but how many of you know that wasn't good enough? You also did something with your mouth, isn't that right? You said those beliefs. You believe that in your heart, but when you got born again, you also confessed with your mouth those beliefs. You maybe said a prayer, you know, we say it quite often. You maybe said a prayer that, thank you, Father, I believe you gave your son Jesus to die for me. I believe that on the third day he rose again from the grave. I believe that he's my Lord. I believe that he's my Savior. I believe that I've been forgiven. If he's forgiven me, I forgive myself. And on and on and on. Well, what are you doing when you're doing that? You're releasing your faith for salvation. And when you release your faith for salvation, you may have not have felt any different. You may have not have seen anything different, but by faith you were saved. That force of faith was in your heart, but it was released through your mouth, and that saved you. It saved you from hell and placed you into the kingdom of his dear son. Well, how did that work? How were you saved? How were you delivered? You had a belief in your heart, and you released that belief with your mouth. This is how God designed faith to work. Your words are designed to either set you free or bind you up. You're snared by the words of your mouth. James chapter 3 likens the tongue to a rudder of a ship. He said that out of your mouth proceeds blessings or cursings. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. God designed faith to get in your heart, a belief to get in your heart. But that belief is not full faith until it is released with your mouth. So when we say, get in faith this year, what we're talking about is you get a belief in your heart that this is going to be your best year yet. You get a belief in your heart that I'm going to be at the right place at the right time. You get a belief in your heart that favor surrounding me like unto a shield. You believe in your heart that everywhere that you go, you're going to meet the right people. You believe in your heart that the court case will be turned around, that things will work out in your favor, that increase is coming your way. You believe that in your heart. And once you have that belief in your heart, what do? Then you release that belief with your mouth by saying, I believe this is going to be my best year yet. I believe I'm going to be at the right place at the right time. I believe in Jesus' name things are working out my way. I believe right now that God is at work in this year and increase is coming my way. See, you're believing in your heart, but God cannot go to work until you release that belief with your mouth. That is how the word of faith, the spirit of faith works. Go to the book of Hebrews. You'll see this principle there as well. You know what? Let's skip Hebrews for the sake of time. And let's go over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Then we'll go over to the book of Matthew. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. Notice what Paul writes here to the church at Corinth. We want to explain how faith works so that we can live by faith. We having the same spirit of what? Of faith, according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I what? Spoken. We also believe and therefore we do what? We speak. How does the spirit of faith work? You believe and you speak. You believe in your heart. You release that belief through your mouth. So when we ask a question like, how much faith did you release this week? What are we asking? How much confession did you do? How much opening up your mouth and speaking good things over your life did you do? Jesus said, it will be unto you according to your what? Faith. Well, what's he talking about there? It'll be unto you according to what you believe in your heart and what you release out of your mouth. The spirit of faith is believing and speaking. Now, so oftentimes you hear people go through the mental type of ruts thinking, does what I say really matter? And the answer is emphatically, yes. God has taken the simple things of this world to confound the wise. And we cannot fall over into a place where Moses was. You remember Moses? He had seen God do some amazing things. He's on the brink of the promised land, but the children of Israel get over into a place where there is no water. And this has happened to him before, and God spoke to Moses' heart before and said, take your rod, smite the rock with your rod, and water will flow forth. And here they are again, and God leads them to another rock, and the Bible says that all the children of Israel had gathered around to see what Moses would do. And God dealt with Moses' heart not to smite the rock, but to speak to the rock, to command the rock to bring forth water. And Moses got to thinking about that. And the more he thought about it, the more he just assumed that doesn't make any sense in the world. If I get off of this rock and start speaking to it, these people are going to think I am crazy. And so he gets up there and instead of speaking to it, he smites the rock with his rod and nothing happens. He rears back and he smites it again a second time. But when he did that, water came out, but then God spoke to his heart and said, you have disqualified yourself from ever getting into the promised land. Now, why was that the case? Because what was the first thing the children of Israel faced when they got in the promised land? A walled city built around rocks. How did they bring those walls down? By shouting with the voice of faith. And when they shouted with the voice of faith, there was no natural effort, but by themselves, the walls came tumbling down. And God was trying to inspire faith in the children of Israel's heart to do that when they got over into the promised land. But because of Moses' disobedience, they didn't see that faith is released through words. Friends, Jesus said in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23 that you will have whatsoever you say. What are you saying about your job? If you're in faith for your job, it means you believe in your heart that God is helping you on the job. You believe in your heart that God is at work when you're at work, that God is your co-laborer, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, that God is your business partner. You believe that in your heart, but that's not all. It means you're also saying it with your mouth. God is helping me. Before every sales call, God is helping me. He's helping me be at the right place at the right time. He's helping me have favor with all the right people. It's not just enough to have that belief in your heart. You've got to release that belief with your mouth. According to your faith, be it done unto you. If someone says, hey, get in faith with me for this missionary, it's not just saying, yeah, I'll get in faith with you. But it means that in your heart, you believe something good is going to happen to that missionary. You believe in your heart that all the funds they need for that mission will surely come to them. You believe that God is opening up doors to cause them to get in front of the right people to preach the word of God. You believe that in your heart, but that's not all. If you're in faith for that missionary, it means you're also saying it with your mouth. God, you're helping them be at the right place. God, you're opening up doors no man can shut. If you're in faith, you're not only believing with your heart, you are confessing with your mouth. And friends, this is where people are missing it. Years ago, Brother Hagin, he's the minister who started the Bible school that I went to. Years ago, when he was just a pastor of a small church, he was down at the altar of his church praying, and he was reading through the book of Mark at the same time. I think he said he read it through about three times. And he said at the end of that, while he was praying, the Lord spoke to his heart just on the inside and said, did you see what I said in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23? In fact, let's go over there and look at it just for fun. Just for fun, let's go over to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. He took him to Mark chapter 11 and verse 23. And he said, notice what I said here. Well, let's see what he said. Mark chapter 11, let's start in verse 22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Wonderful, Jesus. How do we do that? For verily, he's going to tell us how in verse 23, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The Lord took Brother Hagin back to this just on the inside and said, did you see what I said in Mark chapter 11 and verse 23? He went back and read it. He said, yeah, I see a little bit what you're saying. He said, no, did you see what I said? He said, notice, the Lord spoke this to his heart on the inside, that the word say or saith is mentioned three times, and the word believeth is mentioned only once. Let's go back and read it. We can count them. Verse 23. For verily I say unto you, that one doesn't count. I say unto you that whosoever shall, number one, say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, there's that word mentioned once, that those things which he saith, there's the second say, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. There's the third time. He said, I mentioned saying three times and believing only once. And he said, because most people are not missing it in their believing. They are missing it in their saying. They are not saying enough. He said, if you ever want to get people out of that, you've got to do three times as much teaching on saying as you do believing. Well, friends, that makes sense according to Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. Remember what Jesus said? If you have just itty bitty faith, just faith the size of a mustard seed, and you start speaking unto the mountains in your life, nothing will be impossible unto you. So once again, I want to stir you up in this. How much faith are you releasing? Oh, it's good to believe that God is helping you. But friend, you gotta say God is helping you. It's good to believe that God can heal you. But you gotta say, the Lord is healing me. I am the healed of the Lord. It's good to have those beliefs, but you have to say those beliefs. Go over to the book of Matthew. Book of Matthew, chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, we see an example where Jesus commented on someone having great faith. And watch what he says here in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5. Oh, I love how much scripture we're getting into this morning. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 5, you guys are listening so good. Watch what Jesus said here in verse 5. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou should come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Notice that phrase, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. How would you be healed? By speaking the word only. How would you see your situation turn around? By speaking the word only. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. How would you see God move in a greater way this year than ever before? By speaking the word only. Yeah, it's good to read the word. Oh, it's good to hear the word. But friends, you also have to speak the word. Watch this. The centurion continues speaking here in verse 9. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he cometh. To my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great what? Faith. No, not in all of Israel. When Jesus heard this man talking, he marveled. He turned to his disciples and said, this is amazing. I have not found so great faith, No, not in all of Israel. He's saying this man and what just came out of his mouth, it is a recipe for great faith. Well, what did he say? He said, Jesus, it's not necessary that you come to my house, but just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority, and I have soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goeth. To another, come, and he comes. To another, do this, and he does it. And basically what he was telling Jesus is, just as I say unto those men to do things, and they do them, I know you can say to this sickness and tell it to leave, and it will obey you. Jesus said, my goodness, or myself. He couldn't say my Lord, he is the Lord. Myself. I have not found so great faith. No, not in all of Israel. Well, what made the man's faith so great? He had a concept, or you could say, using a spiritual word, he had a revelation of saying faith. And Jesus said that this revelation of saying faith, speaking the word only, telling things to go, telling other things to come, telling other things to do certain things, he said, that is great faith. Friends, I want to encourage you, keep speaking your beliefs. We are a word people. The spirit of faith is what we preach. And the spirit of faith is alive in your life when the word is not only in your heart, but also in your mouth. Amp up your saying. I mean, as much as you can, amp up your saying. I read a story in a book this past week about a businessman who was in sales. Seems like I've been coming across a lot of these stories here recently. And this man had just always struggled in whatever career path he tried to undertake. And he got involved in selling different things and just couldn't ever come up with enough provision to provide for his family. And one day he was talking to a salesman who was very successful. And he asked him, what are the secrets to your success? And the man handed him a little card. And he said, before I do anything, every morning I take out this card and I read it. I confess it over my life. He said, before lunch, I do the same thing. Before dinner, I do the same thing. Before any sales appointment or sales call, I do the same thing. He showed him the card, and on the card, it had three things written on it. Number one, this was the first thing. I believe I am always divinely guided. He said, that keeps me from wasting my time. He said, there are some people who would never buy my product if I sold it to them. And if I spend all my time on those people, I'll never get to the people who will buy my product. And in order to know the difference, I need to be divinely guided. So that was his first principle. I believe I am divinely guided. Number two, this was the second principle. I believe I will always take the right turn of the road. Basically, he said, in sales, a lot of people think there's luck involved, just people being at the right place at the right time, meeting the right people, making the right connections. He said, I don't want to just depend on luck. I'm going to use my faith, and I believe I will always take the right turn of the road. I will always be in the right place at the right time. And he said, number three, I believe God will make a way where there is no way. I believe God will make a way where there is no way. Even if other people are not selling, I believe God will make a way where there is no way. Even when it looks like that there's no way increase can come, I believe God will make a way where there is no way. He had those three principles written down on a card. He told the man, hey, you know what? I know them by heart now. He said, I do it subconsciously without even thinking about it. I say those three things over and over. Why don't you take the card? And he gave the card to that businessman who had been struggling. And this businessman did what he said this man did. He would say it. Once again, it's not enough to have a belief in your heart. You've got to say that belief with your mouth. He begins saying those three principles. I believe God is helping me. He's making a way where there is no way. I believe I will take the right turn of the road. I believe I am divinely guided. He would say it in the morning. He would say it at lunch. He would say it before he went to bed. Before any sales call, before any sales appointment, he would say it. He said by the end of a couple of weeks, he was selling, I wrote down the figures, 85% of the product he was trying to sell. He said a lot of times it would get up to 95%. Imagine 95% of the people you approach to make a sale to, they bought the product you were selling. He said, I had he had 16 straight weeks where he sold on every call. 16 straight weeks. Well, that would make sense, wouldn't it? If you were divinely guided and you only called the people who would accept what you were selling and you had favor with those people, and if there was no way God made one, well, that would make sense how you could do that, wouldn't it? But see, it's not enough to have those beliefs written down in a card. It's not enough even to have those beliefs written in your own heart. Faith must be released with the words of your mouth. Now, I said all of that to say this. Last week, we talked about having faith in God for three areas of our life. We'll close with this. Having faith in God for three areas in our life. If we have faith in God for these three areas, there's a good chance you and I will be living a life of faith. We highlighted those three areas and said the first one is desire, that God wants you to have the desires of your heart. Well, don't just try to take that Disney vacation by saving up. Yeah, save up, but also get in faith for it. God wants your joyful. We remember we looked at that last week. God cares about your joy. Then we said the second area is have faith in God for what we need. That there will be needs that come up in your life and mine, and we need to know how to believe God for those things. And thirdly, we are to be in faith for the kingdom of God. That we're not just in faith that, Lord, bless me, but we're in faith for our nation. We're in faith for ministries. We're in faith for God's will to be done in the earth. We started off last week talking about desire. And we said faith begins where the will of God is known. So you got to know it's God's will to bless you with things that would just give you joy, that if that's all they did, God still wants you to have them because he loves you. And it's been my experience, both in studying the word and even in my own life, that where people miss it in this area is this issue we're talking about this morning. Faith works not only when you get in faith, but you must stay in faith. If you get in faith and stay in faith, you will see the results of faith every time. You remember the story of Peter walking on water? You remember that? He said, Master, if you bid me to come, just speak the word and I will come out. And Jesus spoke the word, come. And Peter jumped out of the boat and he starts walking on water. He's doing the miraculous. But all of a sudden, his attention, his focus gets off of Jesus and over onto the wind and the waves. You remember the story? And he saw the wind beating up the sea, and he saw the waves, and he saw the storm. And as his attention is on that and not on Jesus, what happened to Peter? The Bible says that he began to to sink. This story illustrates that faith will not work where there is not focus. If you want faith to be at work in your life, you must stay focused with your faith. See, when you're believing God for a need, you don't have to think about that, because the need is so pressing, the need is so urgent, the need by itself will remind you to stay in faith. There's another enemy you have to deal with when you're believing God for a need, and that enemy is fear. But with desire, it's optional whether or not you get it. And so what happens is a lot of people, they get fired up. Ooh, we're going to believe God, and it's for a desire. Maybe it's for a new job, or maybe it is for new carpet or furniture or vacation or whatever it may be. I believe God's my Father. He wants to help me in life. He wants to bless me. Ooh, they'll get in faith. And for a day or for a week or maybe even for a couple of weeks, they're saying it every day. Thank you, God, for helping me. Thank you for blessing me. And you can fill in the blanks. But what happens is the enemy, he always comes for the word. According to Mark chapter 4, he will always come for the word. And he will present other types of things to take your attention off of the word that was sown in your heart so that you're no longer using your faith. Friends, don't let the enemy rob you of that. Get in faith, but stay in faith. For how long? Until you see the thing show up in your life. If you get in faith and stay in faith, you will reap every time. I'll tell you this story in closing. This is my last closing. I'm beginning to close. We'll put it that way. Me and my wife, for a number of years, really, we've talked about getting new furniture for our home. When we moved into the home we're in now, we didn't buy any furniture for it. Instead, we just carried over the furniture we had into that home. And we always talked about how, you know, it'd be great to have new furniture, and it'd be great to buy furniture that matches the home that you're in. And we always talked about that. But we just kept putting it off. And we'd get in faith for it. You know, I'd sit down in the living room and say, thank you, Lord, every bit of the finances we need to get new furniture. Thank you, Lord, that it's coming into us. And we'd sit there and we'd do that. But then, you know, something come up, something more pressing, something more urgent, and you'd forget to keep using your faith for that. And finally, you know, we were talking in our living room one day and saying, you know, we really need to do it. Not only is our furniture not matching, but now it's just starting to get old and you got kids who've grown up on it. And so, well, anyway, we won't go into those types of stories. But anyway, we said, you know, we really do need to believe for this. So it takes a special woman to live with me. I said, you know what? We have been talking about getting in faith for so long about this, and we keep putting it off. I said, let's create it to where there is no other alternative but to believe God. And she agreed with me to do this. And so what we did was, in our bedroom and our living room, we completely cleared it out, gave the furniture away, sewed it into other people. And in our living room and in our bedroom, we not only had no furniture, but also we didn't have any money to buy furniture. But what we did have was a reminder to use our faith. And so every day we'd walk into that empty living room and say, thank you, Lord, all the furniture we need's coming in this place. The rug we need, I mean, no lamp, no artwork, nothing. It was completely bare. In our bedroom, we took tape and taped out where the new bed would be, taped out where the little chair would be, taped out where the nightstands would be. We taped it out and put it on the floor. Why? As a reminder to use our faith. Now, that may sound extreme, but friends, here's the facts. We factored that saving financially and with tax returns and all of those other things, just in the natural, if we were to get in and just try to do it in the natural, we could have all of that furniture bought by the end of this year. Now, this was at the start of last year that we made this decision. If we just did things by the natural, that's where we would be. But we said, not only do we want to save, which we believe, I'm on a cash budget, we're on a cash budget every month, I follow Dave Ramsey's financial piece, But that's good to do. But why not also have faith in God? Whatever you look to long enough will eventually become your source. And if you keep looking to God and looking to God and looking to God, eventually He will be your source for everything. And friends, I kid you not, miraculously, I mean, I could give you testimony after testimony of how it came about, but now our house is fully furnished. I mean, God came in miraculous ways. And I don't say that to brag on myself, but to say my faith didn't work until I made a decision to work my faith consistently. Jesus said, if you believe in your heart and you say with your mouth, you will have whatsoever you say. How much saying are you doing? Keep saying your beliefs and you will see your faith work for you just like it worked for everyone in the Bible. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Let's pray this morning. Father, we come before you today. We thank you, Lord, for all that you blessed us with. You've been so good to us, Lord.